RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
I'll just wait for you to stop banging. Good evening, everyone. And welcome to the Dark Delight podcast with
Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions.
And Helga. And me, Beans. Welcome to the Dark Delight podcast for Friday, November 9th. I can't believe it's November 9th already, Frank.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing. Let me tell you something. I'm already I'm on, not on edge, but I'm just a little bit annoyed today by a lot of things. So, yes, it is November 9th. And yes, here we are. I remember last Friday, we're talking about all of the exciting things ahead of us. And, you know, you get past a midterm election, and there really is far more bright side than there is downside. And yeah, losing the House is a downside. But I can't even, where do we even start to talk about the decay, the rapid decay since then? I mean, even in victory, what we are up against is the most asinine display of, I don't even know what. Incivility is too civil of a word. I don't know.
It's disgusting. It really is, like, watching that. They can't even be happy with winning, you know? It's really bad. And you know, they're obviously, we're going to get into today a lot of what's going on in Florida and how they're trying to steal the vote in Florida and in Arizona and in Georgia and anywhere else where they think they can pull it off, finding thousands of ballots stuffed in corners, having people come out and actually swear on signed affidavits that they that they witnessed in Broward County, individuals working for the election office there, filling out ballots in a room to be used later. It's a travesty. We need to get to the bottom of it. We cannot just roll over on this. It needs to be figured out. If they have to do another special election, let them do one, and let's do this the right way. Because, you know, forget the Russians, Frank. Right, Helga?
How dare you? No. No. Do not forget Russia.
No, forget about them. Yeah,
we don't need the Russians to tamper with our elections when we have the Democrats to do it.
I like I said before, I don't even consider the Democrats is just it's I don't know. It's three syllables that don't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. Republican, three syllables. That doesn't mean anything to me. We are seeing gang warfare right now. It doesn't matter what the party. It doesn't matter. It just does not matter. It's an ideological war. It's a cultural war. Politics barely even plays a politics. Agreed. Is a tool. Politics is just a tool for what this is. I mean, in a war, many tools are used. Politics, just one of them. I mean, this is just what is being used in lieu of guns and knives right now and cannon. It's what we're seeing is ridiculous. Florida and Georgia and Arizona is just another mutation of how something needs to be taken. It needs to be corrupted. It needs to be tampered with, and it needs to be elongated, and it needs to be dragged out and worn. These are the people who get dates by wearing people down. Like if you get confronted by or approached by a man or a woman who wants to take you out and they really, really like you, but you don't want anything to do with them. You're not interested, but they wear you down. And you're like, fine, let's go to Applebee's one night. That's it. And they're happy as a pig in shit. And that's it. This is what we're looking at right now. There is no decorum. They don't care about anything. The real thing here is this. And that's why I introduced myself as Maximus Decimus Meridius. We are watching the opening scene of Gladiator. There are two different sets of people in this country right now. One set that is actually into the idea of the tradition that we have here of self-governance, the Constitution, the law of the land, and standards. We believe in borders and culture, that our culture being one that is set upon a creed. It's not an ethno state like some people like telling people it is. And the other side wants nothing to do with it. And because they are willing to do anything to take this whole thing down, they're willing to do anything. They will use our love of tradition and our love of country and rule of law to keep us, to hold us to those rules while they do whatever the hell they want, while they shift their positions, while they contradict stances they had 2 weeks before, because they don't care. Which is another reason why whenever you see these interviews with people on the ground who are protesting, or the politicians themselves, or the leaders of these special interest groups themselves, they actually sound and look like insane people, because they are insane.
Half of them don't even know why they're there in the first place.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
It's been made so easily digestible for these little foot soldiers on the ground, because you don't need to have a firm understanding of anything. Whatever you're feeling that day is the truth, and nobody can tell you otherwise.
I mean, you know, did you see the Federalist Molly write that article about Nadler? She happened to be on the Acela train with him on the way down.
Jerry Nadler?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that the Jerry that ate Ben.
Yeah.
Fat. And that is a fat joke, everybody. Jerry Nadler's a fat ass.
That Jerry Nadler, yes. He was talking
I'm sorry, Helga, by the way. I'm sorry for all this.
You're good. It's fine.
Okay.
Helga has had some food allergies over the past couple of days, and I'm monitoring her very closely. She's dabbled with too much of foreign vodka.
Yes. The vodka is killing me.
Too much drinking.
Too much. Very much.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye on her. But you know, basically she overheard everything that was going on this conversation that he was having with somebody. And I guess at the end of it decided she was going to ask him, I'm going to print this. Do you have anything you want to say? It was impeaching Kavanaugh, even though we're seeing all of these like horrible, you know, the truth is coming to light now about what they did to this poor man. What are they going to impeach him on, Frank? What?
It's not about, but just like how everybody was talking about Kavanaugh before, it was never about reaching a legal conclusion.
Right.
It's about dragging things out and breaking people's spirit. They knew that all of these accusations were nonsense. And what we really got there was two weeks of public crucifixions of Brett Kavanaugh, his family, his character, his life, his history, whatever it is, 2 weeks of public crucifixion. And then when it comes down to the Senate, to the hearing before the Senate committee there, and he very righteously and rightfully is indignant about the way he and his family were treated, and he goes and he shows a little bit passion. What does the narrative become? Oh, this is a man who is emotionally disturbed. He's too unbecoming of a judge. This is not the character of a judge. We should be able to kill him for 3 weeks straight, and he should sit there like a pious little saint. This is what it's all about. If they start impeachment proceedings on Kavanaugh or the president, they don't think it's going to go anywhere.
No, it's obstruction. It's basically obstruction, complete and full. It's disgusting. Like we just have to have a stronger resolve. And I always get scolded for saying we, but I'm done. I don't care anymore. Yes, we. I'm not on that side. I don't want anything to do with that side. If you're on that side, I consider you not a friend. So I don't care. We need to have stronger resolve. We need to not let this continue. It has to stop. And it's slowly but surely turning in our favor, I have to say. People are fed up. You know, it just can't continue this way, Frank. It can't. It can't. It can't.
I keep some of my more dire predictions to myself because I don't want to get doom and gloom with people. But I'll tell you something. There is no negotiating. When there's no negotiating, I love making movie references. And I don't, and I'm not like the people on the street who have apparently only have ever watched one movie and read only one book, which is Harry Potter. But I can go to anywhere you want. And I'm going to go to Star Wars on this one. Only a Sith deals in absolutes. And there is no negotiating with these people.
No.
No negotiating.
No. There's nothing that... No. There isn't. They're unreasonable tyrants, and there is no better word for them, really. I mean, all they care about is power. They're hungry for it. I don't understand how people don't see it, what they're doing. It doesn't matter. Win at all costs, it doesn't matter how. Cheat, lie, steal, corruption, freaking death in some cases. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you have to do to be able to take take other people's freedom away from them so that you can rule over them like tyrants. You know, I'm so emotional today. I'm fed up with this. I'm pissed off, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Damn it.
Well, let me tell you, you've already brought up a few instances in which there is actual evidence that there is tampering going on. Of course, the timing of things, the convenience of things, thousands of votes showing up, ballots showing up out of nowhere after all of the results are in. Oh, wait. There's more. We found 50,000 more.
And not letting them see them. Like, they're just blatantly breaking the law. Where is Pam Bondi in Florida? Where are you? What are you doing? Stop doing Fox News hits and get to the bottom of what's going on in your state.
You know, and you look at all of it and you say to yourself, okay, am I being a kook? Am I being a conspiracy kook? You say, no. I'm not being irresponsible at all to consider the notion that a group of people who want borders open, that want less restrictions on the way people who are not citizens vote in national elections, that push back on anything, that would actually reestablish checks and balances between the federal and state authorities. They push back on every, they are the party of opening the door wide open to make sure that representative government is completely erased and replaced by autonomous government, single party rule. Under that guise, under that umbrella, how can you tell me that there is anything less than corruption and ballot stuffing and very just nefarious schemes going on right now?
You can't. And it's up, you know, good. If there are any good people left out there, no matter, you know, if you voted for freaking Bill Nelson, or you voted for Sinema, whoever you voted for out there. Look at what's happening, and if you're comfortable with this, if this is something that makes you feel comfortable, leave. Just leave. Go someplace else, far away. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself at some point and say, you know what? If we want a country after this, we got to start doing things the right way. We lost. We're going to take it graciously. We're going to work to see what we can do to change it the next time around. You know, let's work on some policy and some positions that'll be stronger for our candidates. Let's actually get a platform in place instead of just running on a platform of hate. And let's get this done next time around. But no, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening.
I'll put it to you this way. We're baseball fans. Anybody out there who voted for Nelson or Sinema, first of all, the fact that Sinema is even in a position right now where a batch of recently undiscovered votes come into play, the fact that she is close enough after being outed as not only having such disdain for her constituents, her potential constituents, but for the state she wants to represent itself. The fact that she is even that close within striking distance is just a testament of the fatalistic mindset that comes along with progressivism from all those people who probably migrated from California into Arizona and brought their suicidal thinking with them.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I did a whole thread about this the other day. And let me just say, to be honest, I don't feel like Kyrsten Sinema won that election. I think there was a ton going on in Arizona to mess those rules. There's no way. I just can't see it. I just can't. So let's just say this. I don't understand this. You flee a state because you can't live there anymore, legitimately. It's so bad there that you have to pick up your family and move them out. And then you bring the virus that you left with you instead of using the vaccine of freedom to cure yourself of it. And then you wonder why the hell your state that you moved to is turning into a hellhole on top of it. It doesn't make any sense. If you love it there, then stay there.
Why do you think they're all, but I mean, at the same time, why do you think they are flocking to the defense and to, like, almost like the worship of thousands multiple waves of thousands of people from Central and South American countries who are still waving their home flag, but bringing the mentality that destroyed their home countries into a new country. Why do you think that they I mean, this is birds of a feather. They're birds of a feather. This is death. This is death, a death mentality.
It's I don't even believe what's happening. It's so unbelievable to me what's happening right now. And I am not, I'm not going to let myself sit here and feel powerless. I will figure out something that I can do to somehow positively affect change here, because the feeling of powerlessness that I have right now is making me sick to my stomach, Frank.
Well, it's this feeling of powerlessness on one side. And then on the other side, I ask myself, I was going to make a baseball reference before. I ask myself, how could anybody, if you're a Democrat, if you're how can anybody sit back and take pride?
Yeah.
Or take pride in what is happening or what may still happen with these two Senate seats that they're trying to flip after post-election now. It's almost as if you have a game between the Red Sox and the Yankees. And if I'm watching the game and the Yankees are down by three in the ninth inning, they have the bases loaded, and then somebody hits what would be a grand slam. The ball goes slightly foul, but for some reason, somehow, the Yankees are able to get a challenge. And one of the umpires says, oh, you know, that's a fair ball, and it's not. I would, as a Yankee fan, feel we did not win this game. That is bullshit. I feel dirty even taking this win. This doesn't feel right.
You're a good person.
Listen, anybody who actually favors the art and the beauty of competition and freedom and fairness would be disgusted with a win like that. All right. I want to beat the Red Sox as much as anybody, but to see a foul ball to be turned into a fair ball just so that we can get past the finish line, to hell with that. Just give me next season and I'll lick my wounds for now. But these are not lick their wounds people. They know what's I don't know.
Looking at the South Carolina race too. Looking at the race in South Carolina here between Katie Arrington and Joe Cunningham. And seeing the same nonsense. Now, that's a House seat. Biden money, you know, Spartacus coming out and campaigning for Joe. It was just a very heavy focus on this one SC1 district for some reason. The margin here is the man, Joe Cunningham, was at the precinct electioneering. And when they would come out, he would hide in line. There's video of him. Blatantly breaking the law. He won by 4,000 votes. There's a D plus 26 swing this election. You think that's organic?
No.
Really? No. In South Carolina?
No, especially after the last 2 years of their behavior.
Right.
They have put themselves on display. Now, I know that turnout was actually down in quite a few races for Republicans from 2016 until now. So that definitely bit them in the ass as well. And also, not to be a nitpicker, because I'm more libertarian than anything anyway. But there are in two states, I forgot which states they were, in two states, the libertarian vote really more than covered the disparity between the Democrat winner and the Republican loser. So there were two more Senate seats that could have went red if it weren't for third-party voting as well.
Well, the Democrats were paying for ads for the Libertarian candidates.
Listen, we know that they love their Pied Piper candidacy. We know that. That's why we have President Donald Trump, thank God. They love the Pied Piper. So I don't believe any of it. I believe it all.
Helga just finished eating her lunch and she's rejoined the podcast.
Yes, I have.
What do they eat for lunch in Russia, Helga?
We eat goat.
Goat?
Yes.
You also keep goats as pet?
Yes. Goat pet and food.
Do you cook the goat or do you just maul it?
Just eat goat.
Just eat it. Okay. I would imagine that the Russians, yes. they're tough people. I wouldn't even spend time cooking it.
We don't even cook.
Yeah, I'm teaching her the right way, you know? I'm teaching her the right way, how to be a good Russian-American.
Yes.
That's it. Bring your goat-eating, liberty-loving self to America and just, you know, eat your goats in your apartment and just leave everybody else alone. Nobody cares about you.
I brought my goat to school the other day.
The one that you ate for lunch?
Yes, yes.
So you brought, you walked your lunch to school.
I ate it today, and I brought it to school the other day.
There's no messing with that. That's hardcore.
No.
I wouldn't want to sit next to her in the lunch lunchroom though. That's gonna be a messy lunch. Yes. First of all, the struggle of the goat first before it
dies. I'm strong.
What do you do? Do you strangle the goat or do you right in front
I'm
of the whole?
Strong. I strangle and then I eat. Okay. I am strong Russian.
She swung the election for Donald Trump. Why don't you tell us how you did that again?
Okay, so I group all my friends up in a room. I put them in my room, and they vote for him, and he wins.
How many friends did you have?
Oh, a million. Many friends.
The big room.
Yes.
I don't even have a closet in my bedroom. She can put a million people in one.
That was a nice way to break up the nastiness of our beginning.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Goodness. I swear. I'm so frustrated about this, though. I mean, I really am. Like, something's got to give, Frank. Like, good has to win out. Good has to win. Right?
I guess. Fists can win as well. I'll tell you one thing. When I saw the people outside of Tucker Carlson's house, for an hour straight, I sat in silence and I just ran through fantasies of putting a black bandana over my face, going out there, chanting with them for 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden, elbows and knees to every last bastard out there. I would have went through the entire crowd myself.
I got to be honest, they're lucky that it wasn't Florida or South Carolina or some other state where the wife could have been armed. Because I'm telling you, if they would have come to my door like that, it would have been a much different. I'm in fear for my life. I was in fear for my life. That's what I would have been saying.
And she and you would have been within your right, your reasonable right to self-defense, where you have people kicking down your front door. You are within your right to kill them.
Literally.
Literally. That is not figurative at all.
That was actually one of the problems with, do you remember in New York several years ago when they passed that legislation about the guns at like 1 a.m?
No, I don't remember.
I forget exactly what it was. It was some act where they passed it in the dead of night so that nobody would be able to tell what it was. And it changed like ammunition, levels that you're allowed to have and all kinds of other things. And one of the things was that the cop, if a cop knocks on your door and doesn't identify themselves and you feel threatened, under the law you just stated, you have the right to fire. And they made it so that would be a crime punishable by death. And there was some kind of a loophole in there or something that screwed it up where the police, I don't remember what it was, but they were in such haste to pass this legislation to stop people from being able to defend themselves that they ended up shooting the police, no pun, in the foot. Somehow, because they don't care about anything but just making you slaves to the state. Slaves.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about our new sponsor and then we'll try and do some fun stuff, Frank, or talk about some funny stuff. Right, Helga?
Yes. Yes. Please. Finally. Got. We talk about got.
Helga's excited for that. Helga's excited.
I'm AB positive blood type, so actually goat is and lamb are the types of meats that I actually, according to the blood type diet, that's the type of meats that I am best suited to take in. They're actually medicinal.
Are they?
Beef and chicken, no good for me. But if I were going to have, but turkey is beneficial, goat, gamier meat, stuff like that, duck, I can have that stuff.
We're gonna gut duck all the time.
Yeah, that's good.
You must be AB positive.
Yes. Yeah.
Perhaps.
I wish you could see the look on her face right now. She's very serious. Very serious right now.
I would be too. This is serious stuff.
So Dark to Light is brought to you by Surfshark. In 2018, online privacy and security issues are huge concerns for most of us. The government isn't going to do much about it. Ain't that the truth? It's time to take matters into your own hands. We've all seen what happens when your data is compromised, and the consequences can haunt you for years to come. A survey by the Pew Research Center revealed that no less than 91% of Americans believe that people have lost control over how personal information is collected and used. This calls for action, and there are some things you can do even if you're not a tech whiz. One of the easiest ways to protect your whole family online is to get a VPN or virtual private network. But first, you have to get a trustworthy provider. Today, Surfshark.com leads the way in privacy protection industry. It has an amazing Black Friday deal, and for just $1.99 per month, you can get a VPN that doesn't log your online activities, connecting all your family devices to just one account. Talk about getting your money's worth. This VPN will encrypt all of your online traffic, so even your internet service provider would need to put hours upon hours of work to see what you're up to online. It also has a clean web feature that blocks phishing attempts, malware, trackers, and even ads. No more annoying ads following you around the internet. Use the code BFFDARKTOLIGHT and get Surfshark.com for just $1.99 a month for your entire family. That's BFF Dark to Light, and get Surfshark.com for just $1.99 a month.
I have never done VPN. I've been told for a long time, you know, get into this. You have to. I mean, because it's so.
And you just told everyone.
I know. I gotta.
That leaves vulnerabilities for the Russians to
yes.
come in.
We hack you.
With what kind of code?
We hack you with Russian code.
It's the best kind of code I heard.
Yes, best code.
That's all it is. That's where we are now. Yes. We need protection. We need protection for everything. I was going to make a joke. I can't make too many jokes now.
No, I know.
Sorry.
Okay. I have to be respectful. Okay?
Yes. Respect to Russia.
Let's bring out the decaf coffee today.
You can, you know, my little Helgi here is very mature and she's very well rounded, so she can handle you, Frank. She listens to your show all the time. Yes. She loves your podcast. She does.
Helga, I hope that when you watch my show, you are able to separate the immature boy that still is kicking around inside of me, and you hear all of the other good things, like the history and the other stuff that we try to talk about. The aliens. Do you like when we talk about aliens, Helga?
Yes, I like aliens.
See, that's something everybody can get behind.
Yes.
And the remote viewing.
Yes. Remote viewers. Let me tell you something. I think that this would be really interesting, a way to kick open what I'm sure something you want to talk about. Couple of weeks ago, my buddy Rob, and you know Rob well, Rob says to me after a workout, so we were at the park, we were working out a little bit, and we were done, we're going to go out to get some coffee, and he said, "Oh, listen, just so you know, the remote viewers," because he follows a few really big blogs where a lot of remote viewers hang out there, and they just very in a non-political way put things out there that they have seen in their sessions and whatnot. And speaking of sessions, a couple of weeks ago said without any kind of political aura built up around it, there's no good, or whether this is good or bad, whatever the hell it was, they just merely said after the midterms Jeff Sessions is out. That's all they said. That was put out there a couple of weeks ago. No sooner did the midterms end was Jeff Sessions pretty much his resignation was tendered at the request of the president. So it was a soft firing. And I told you and I told Harold Finch when that happened weeks ago, I said, hey, I know this is a little bit otherworldly,
yep,
but I just want to put this on the table. He's and right. Let's just see what happens to it. The next day, Tracy.
I know. Sometimes things are just crazy, you know? Like that one psychic that calls your show sometimes and talks about us.
Yeah.
He's really good. I like what he says. He's always got something interesting to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Sessions, we can talk about that now. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to take a look at the thread that I did about the replacement. And I haven't spent a lot of time talking about why Sessions left or why he's coming back or I mean, what he's going to do. Or so there's rumors he's going to run for Roy Moore's seat, Doug Jones's seat, which would be great.
Yeah, well, it'll definitely take back one of the seats that we may lose to this latest round of debauchery.
It's not happening. I refuse to believe it. I will not let it enter my mind. We will not lose.
I sure hope so, because as of last night, I heard that Kyrsten Sinema actually had an edge because of all the new votes that were found.
She does, and I'm looking at it right now, but that's not going to stand. We're going to do the right thing. This country is going to do the right thing. Law enforcement's going to do the right thing, and we're going to take back these elections that we won fair and square, damn it. Anyway, but Sessions might run for Senate again, which is great. But he left, you know, he left. Reasons can be spoken about why he left and why he's gone. The guy that replaced him is, Frank, did you see the thread that I wrote? Did you see it?
Which one?
About Whitaker.
Oh, no, I have not.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm halfway through the video that you put out, though.
So you're getting what basically you're getting the thread from the video, basically.
Yeah. Okay. If it's based on the thread, then yeah, I've been getting that.
So this guy is like a Clinton attack dog. I mean, he knows CGI, CHI, the Clinton Foundation, the FEC violations that Hillary Clinton has committed, her dirty PACs, the email server, the email investigation, Spygate, all of it. He knows it like the back of his hand. The man is like a, you know who he reminded me of? He reminded me of Eric Prince.
I from what I'm watching, and first of all, the fact that he's a power lifter, I'm like,
oh,
yes.
God. I know.
Yeah, I know. That scared a lot of people. That scared. Oh, my God. He's a man. Oh, no. A man.
Yeah, that's for sure.
In a sea of people who look like Adam Schiff with no chin. Here comes a man who can lift more than his own weight. And he has a looks like he has a pair of brass balls. I'm just excited about him just aesthetically.
No, I know. I agree with you. It's great to have some. And, you know, it's funny because. So many things. He also knows a lot about the Chinese, but in terms of his appearance, I think it really did intimidate some people. Honestly, yep. Not kidding about that. So he was a U.S. attorney for a few years, left when Obama took office, as is customary. Obama didn't ask him back like Trump asked Hoover back. I like to put that out there for people. And so he went on to run this organization called FACT, which is like a Judicial Watch-esque sort of an ethics watchdog group. And he's very straightforward in all the interviews I found about his feelings about the Clintons and what they're doing. He's gone after McCaskill. He's gone after what's his name with the sinking island. What's his name?
Oh, Hank Johnson.
Yes, Hank Johnson. He's gone after some candidates in Florida. He also went after Mark Meadows. So it's not like it's just a purely Democrat thing. It just so happens that a lot of Democrats are a little more corrupt than the Republicans we see today, for the most part anyway. I can't even say that, actually. What am I saying? That's not true at all. We have plenty of corrupt Republicans. What?
Plenty.
Oh, plenty. Yeah, absolutely.
Plenty.
Yeah. Well, Helga knows because they're on her payroll.
Yes.
But so now let me ask you this. What do you think's going to – now, I know that the president is going to be meeting with Helga's former president, Putin, in a couple of days. And we also have this Whitaker guy. He's getting a lot of people upset. He's getting a lot of people. You know, isn't it funny how Whitaker is a net? Was there, chronologically speaking, did all of these new votes that were discovered in Florida and Arizona pop up before, after, or right at the same time of Whitaker's announcement?
At the same time as Whitaker, and then it really ramped up when Ruth Bader Ginsburg took a spill and broke all her ribs. Coincidental, I'm sure. Really, really coincidental.
Because honestly, if you really do think about this, Rick Scott's seat and also the seat that Martha McSally should be occupying, if those are compromised in some way, then it brings the flaky Susan Collins, Murkowski, Mitt Romney people to the fray.
Yes, it does. It does. And that's all we need is Romney acting like McCain. That's all we need.
No, because that's exactly what this is. It takes away the clear path to judicial confirmations and also appointment confirmations elsewhere. It takes away that clear, unobstructed path. It takes all that away if they are able to compromise those two seats that have been rightfully lost. rightfully lost.
I know, and I have a lot more to say about that stuff too, but I have to say I don't think Trump's messing around this go-round these last 2 years. But on Whitaker, you know, like, he was the chief of staff for Jeff Sessions, and both Joe DiGenova and Tom Fitton and Jay Sekulow, all three of them, have come out and said, hey, you know, I think he's going to serve the full 210 days he's allowed to serve, and he might even be the final pick for AG. And today, Trump was interviewed outside the White House, and they're like, they ask him about Whitaker. And he goes, oh, I don't know him. You know, I didn't know him. He was Jeff Sessions' chief. Yeah, okay, Trump. That's perfect. I love it. Keep going with that answer. That's beautiful. Keep it going. And he's like, you know, it's upsetting because whoever I pick ends up being, you know, targeted. And I don't think this guy's going to have any problem with people coming for him at all, to be honest. And he's been inside the West Wing for months now. So, and he worked for Clovis, which they're trying to use as a reason to have him recuse himself, because apparently he brushed shoulders with somebody who happened to be spoken to by Robert Mueller. And so that means that he should put his, you know, he should recuse himself, when meanwhile we've got Rod Rosenstein, who used to be leading the investigation with no less than 300 conflicts of interest. And that's fine, though. That's fine, because he's one of them. He's one of them. Yes.
Everything's fine. First of all, and just to add to that as well, to say, and I was saying this last night with the whole crony, what was it, the crony situation, because I think it was, I'm trying to remember, it was who called him a crony? I think, oh, shoot.
Come on, Maximus, get with the program.
It was on Grabian. I forgot who, but either way. Oh, I think Rachel Maddow.
Oh,
so Maddow calling said, oh, well, yeah, we have a crony, a president's crony, or somebody coming in, or it was either Rachel Maddow or it was somebody, a representative from indivisible.org, that was part of one of the organizations that put together all of or many of the coast to coast protests that Rachel Maddow helped promote over the last couple of days. And I'm thinking to myself, a crony, you mean a president tapped someone he trusts to do an acceptable job as an acting attorney general? I mean, like, no way.
It's a political appointment. It's not a separate branch of government. I don't understand what these people, what civics classes did they take?
I don't know. But even if they took civics, they wouldn't be able to explain why, you know, how Barack Obama tapping Eric Holder, who went on to become the first U.S. attorney general in history of our country, to be held in contempt of Congress for obstructing an inquiry into their own Fast and Furious gun running scam that left Americans dead. And also some of those guns ended up as far as the terrorist attack at the concert hall in Paris in 2015. So that wasn't cronyism. Loretta Lynch wasn't a crony when she accepted James Comey's recommendation to exonerate Hillary Clinton with a wink and a nod, and stifled the NYPD and then spent her retirement promoting resistance.
You know, it's funny because Whitaker actually mentions the meeting on the tarmac in one of his interviews and says, you know, basically says, yeah, OK, grandkids, you know, this guy is like one of us. He better stay. If Trump is smart, he'll keep this guy in office, because I feel the gloves came off with this, and that's why they're acting the way they are. I really do. Like, it will be a really rocky time in this country for the next 2, 3, 6 years with all this stuff going down if the Democrats don't fall into line and just at least stop cheating.
I don't want them to fall into line.
I want it to come out too. No, I get it.
I don't want them to go back into their holes. They cannot retreat. We need to go and we need to root them out.
Yep.
They cannot. Because if it gets really too hot and they actually say, okay, we need a game change, we need to go underground and wait this out, that would be like President Obama letting everybody, all the terrorists that we are funding or fighting and or fighting in the Middle East. All right. Well, we are going to extract all of our troops in 2 years. What does that tell you if you're the enemy? Hey, everybody, let's just go and hang out in our coffee houses for 2 years and we'll pretend that we're gone. And then we'll come back and we'll do whatever we want when we know that the cat is away. And Donald Trump, we only have one shot at a Donald Trump. I actually fear for the years after him.
Agreed.
Because who the hell's going to have his balls? But Tracy, you said something before about, you know, how amazing this all is, the hypocrisy, and also Whitaker as a man. Watch how everyone, now that we have an attorney general without any conflicts of interest overseas, the conclusion. That is the greatest thing about this is he's going to be overseeing the conclusion of a fruitless 2-year special counsel, which has been handled up until this point exclusively by all of the very same people who concocted the very need for the probe in the first place.
I know it scares the crap out of him because the report will be declassified. You know what I'm saying? That he's going to produce documents. You know, that's one of the reasons why I didn't like Sessions in there, because he has too long of a history inside of the houses of Congress. You know what I mean? Like, he had these ties. Like, this dude is unleashed. He doesn't have any. He's like Trump, but in the AG spot. He has no allegiances. He doesn't owe anyone anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And with all of this coming to an end, like, it bothered me actually on election, the day after election day, when Trump came out and said, oh, I think, you know, if they go down the road of all these obstructionist investigations, then I will blah, blah, blah per Trump and it will be war. But I'm saying to myself, I hope that that's not true, because these people need to be held to account whether they're doing illegal things towards us or not. We need accountability and justice. There is no, you know, deals. Remember when Trump accepted the accepted the presidency and the first line out of his mouth was, sorry to keep you waiting, complicated business?
Yes.
He was, you know, in my opinion, that was making deals with folks behind the scenes, like concede. And they didn't hold up their end of the bargain at all, which is when you started seeing everything come out to the forefront. There are no deals. There are no deals. We do not make deals anymore at all with anyone about anything. They do not care. They're immoral, horrible people. They are out to destroy the country. We need to take it back. No deals.
I'm with you.
No deals. No.
No deals. None.
No deals.
No deals.
No running. No running. I want people in locked up in stocks again. That's what I want.
Donald Trump just tweeted, you mean they're just now finding votes in Florida and Georgia, but the election was on Tuesday? Let's blame the Russians and demand an immediate apology from President Putin. What do you say about that?
How dare you? I help you win the election and you do this to me.
You throw me under the bus.
Exactly.
Yes, I really wish that he wouldn't keep throwing the Russians under the bus, Helga.
I helped him.
After all that help.
I thought he was Russian, but no.
If you guys haven't seen where Helga was born, I'll have to link it below.
Yes. Very good, very good.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't mean literally born, Frank. I mean,
no, she was just congealed.
Yeah.
She's actually never born. She was created in a laboratory somewhere.
I was created from particles. Russian particles.
What else do we got going on here outside of this stuff? I wanted to talk about Acosta.
Ugh.
Good. Good. What do you want me to say? No, no, let's not. Fine, let's go. Let's talk about that pudgy toad.
Toad face. Do you want to hear something that is going to make everybody hate me, but I'm going to share it anyway? I almost feel bad for him. I really do.
I mean, I can see what you mean by that, in the way that I have seen kids that were classmates of mine in maybe anywhere from fifth grade on throughout high school, who were so intolerable in a way that they could never understand why they're just little bastards that can't get out of their own way, and why they have made people hate them. They have made people hate them in a way, and in the same sense, they present themselves as useful to other people who need little bastards that have no sense of self-respect and no sense of decency, who can use them as tools to go out and propagate turn them into a foot soldier to do all their dirty work. I mean, there's a special kind of person. Jim, the people like Jim Acosta are special types of people who would be able to stand up in front of the president like that, in front of the entire world in some cases, and feel comfortable doing that act and believing that I don't know what he thinks. But there's only a special type of fool that thinks that gesture act comes off nicely.
You know, I was watching this over and over and over again, and I'm watching him, and the woman tries to grab the microphone from him, and he obviously, the little scuffle ensues, and he says, "Pardon me, ma'am," like all prim and proper, right? Like it just came out of him. He wasn't, that's just the way he acts. It wasn't, you know, forced where he said, "Pardon me, ma'am." That was like a spur of the moment thing. And I'm like, does he believe himself, or is he really acting? Like, does he believe the things he's saying? Does he believe he's in the right, or is he acting?
No, he wants to go down, and he wants to be he thinks that he's the cleanup hitter. He thinks that he is the Dan Rather of our generation, even though Dan Rather was the Jim Acosta of his generation. That's what the hell is going on right now. He thinks that he's cementing his name into the annals of Journalism Hall of Fame.
That's not journalism.
It's not. No, I mean, nothing that we see there is journalism.
It was uncomfortable to watch. I had to almost shut it off. I was like, this is way above and beyond what should be happening right now. Like, first of all, Donald Trump was pacing around. He was so frustrated. How he kept his composure the way he did is a testament to his temperament. Just saying. Because I would have lost my damn mind up there.
I saw all of Donald Trump's thoughts.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I felt his thoughts. I saw them running through his eyes because there were tens of millions of people who would have loved to jump over the podium and wring that pudgy toad's throat.
I was waiting for him to call Secret Service to remove him. I thought he was going to do it. I was like, get this guy out of here. He's just, I mean, and then the guy who stood up after him and like was like, oh, he's a diligent reporter. What has he ever reported on? Have you ever read an investigative piece from Acosta? I mean, is there anything out there? What does he do?
I don't know. He's a cheat because I don't see him as a journalist. I've only ever known him as an embarrassing cheerleader. I mean, that's all it is. Jim Acosta is suited. Much more suited, in fact, solely and primarily suited to do red carpet events. He needs to be on the red carpet somewhere, maybe at Politicon, where he can talk to. I mean, he seems to handle politics. He seems to have a little bit more of an interest in politics and entertainment, although it's all the same. He needs to be asking people who they're wearing that night. You know, where'd you get your shoes? Tell me about the dress. Well, that's what he is. I don't understand what the mix-up is.
I'm looking through his Wikipedia page right now, trying to find anything of substance, and there's nothing here. Like he's like Stelter. He really is. All of them. What is going on? Well, you know, it's going to come a time. I want there to come a time very soon where the White House says, you know what? Not even if it's I'm not saying me, but there are really good journalists out there doing this for the right reasons who deserve to have a seat in that room. To ask real questions that the American people actually want the answers to. And I watched the, what's his name? Mitch McConnell, the Cocaine Mitch press conference earlier in the morning. And the difference in the questions he received and how he answered, you know what I mean? Like, this is the president of the United States, regardless of whether or not you agree with him or hate him or despise him. It doesn't matter. He's the most powerful man in the entire world. And for you to stand up there and not even show the respect you would show to someone on Twitter is disgusting to me.
He has beautiful hair.
Yeah, he does have a strong hairline, which is another reason why I hate him.
We're looking at him right now. He does have beautiful hair, actually.
Yeah, it's a waste on that fat face of his.
But Donald Trump's better.
What he needs to do is he needs to start wearing shirts that have once I think the neck just needs to be one size bigger because that will probably force less blood into his head. And it'll maybe even just the appearance of his head looking a size smaller would help his overall appearance.
Beetlejuice him.
Something. It looks like it reminds me he's turning into Mr. Mackey from South Park.
Oh, goodness. There was another point I had on Acosta, and I don't remember now. I'm distracted, and I don't remember what it was. But the whole thing just makes me I don't even have words today. I'm so frustrated.
No, today was a frustrating one because I would think – because here's the thing. You would think that – I mean you lose control of a House of Congress, which in actuality, what I said before on my show on Wednesday's broadcast was you lose a House of Congress even if the Republicans kept a 5-10 seat majority. That still would probably mean that the legislative agenda would have been halted, because once you get outside of the progressive cult, nobody agrees on anything. You know, Democrats could have a 1-seat majority in the House, and if they had a 1-seat majority in the Senate and a Democrat president, they would be able to pass anything anytime, because they do not fuss with each other.
No, that's one difference. I think that, you know, because they're group thinkers, Frank. Nobody has any independent thought. That's number one, because we have in the conservative wing of things, we have like the really hardcore constitutionalists, the Rand Pauls of the world. And then we have the, you know what I mean? Like everybody's got their own ideas. They don't group think together. And then there are the people that aren't even really Republicans that are just obstructionists looking to tank the country into a communist hellhole with open borders. So we could talk about them too. But I think Donald Trump summed it up really nicely in his press conference about why it is actually a positive that there's a split House, a split Congress, because the Democrats are forced to bring forth legislation right now. They're forced. They have to bring something forward, and Donald Trump can deal make with them. And if they refuse to make deals, then they're obstructing. If they don't bring anything forward, then they're obstructing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they have maybe three or four options. And yeah, they can either bring deals forward and then they can negotiate and they can actually hand Donald Trump wins. And they don't want to do that. They cannot do anything and just sit there for 2 years. And that would also be bad for them in 2020. They can also just sit there and on top of all of that, abuse the subpoena power of the House and make everybody hate them even more. So they really, I'm telling you, it was one of those things where this victory did not help them at all. And not only did they not win in any convincing way, and Republicans expanded their majority in the Senate, which is the most important legislative body right now because of what has been, thwarted in the last 2 years with our slim majority. And that slim majority made up of pussy footing weirdos like John McCain while he was still alive, and Jeff Flake, and I mean, hell, we have to rely on Joe Manchin to get Brett Kavanaugh across the finish line. So it's just like, I don't know. It makes perfect sense to me that after all of this, we were actually more happy and more at peace with losing a house than they are in gaining one.
I know. Isn't it sick?
Yes. Yes, it is sick, Tracy. It is very sick.
Helga 2020. This is why Helga needs to come.
Yeah, well, you know what, Helga? We are going to need some kind of a savior.
Yes. Helga save all people.
We didn't even get into, it's okay. You know what? It's okay. I don't mind that. I'm just looking through my Twitter timeline here, and let's talk for a minute about Ellison. How about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Ellison gets elected to AG. Do you fear? The first thing I said was, I worry about the woman who stepped out against him. Wouldn't you be scared if it were you in that position?
Yeah. Well, if she continues to pursue justice, I feel bad, or I worry for her.
It's like this. It's the same thing as what's her name in Arkansas when Bill Clinton was AG. Oh my gosh, you know the accused who she was raped by Bill Clinton. Oh my, I can't remember her name.
Which one? Juanita?
Yes, Juanita Broderick. Juanita Broderick. Sorry. Yeah, she wanted to come after. Clinton, but he was the attorney general. How do you even, I mean, she's going to be pulled over and God only knows what's, oh my gosh.
Hey, well, first of all, Ben Carson, you remember when Ben Carson made a speech probably in 2013 or 14 or something like that? He made a speech at the White House prayer breakfast or something like that. And pretty much in front of Barack Obama and most of his his or a good portion of his cabinet. He tore healthcare apart. He tore a few of Obama's greatest legislative accomplishments at the time apart in front of everybody in very subtle, respectful way that Ben Carson goes across. After that prayer breakfast, he was pulled aside by the IRS.
Yeah, I know. They targeted them. I know.
And that's just using a public platform to offer up reasonable criticism.
Yeah.
Criticism. So, I mean,
nobody's ever been held accountable for the IRS nonsense either. It's about time all this changes. Really, enough is enough. Or how many things? Too many things, Frank.
A million.
Yep.
A million things.
Let's ask Helga generally, yes. Like, because one of the things that worries me is that, like, here I am in South Carolina trying to keep the northern mindset from permeating through my state and turning it freaking blue. There's a huge blue slash mark through the center of it right now. Makes me sick.
I know.
At school, Helga, how many of your friends
don't like Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, all of them. I tell them he is beautiful man, but they don't listen to Helga.
And that's
never listen to Helga.
And that's why, Helga, that's why Democrats want even 8-year-olds to vote, because in D.C., they're pushing D.C. They're one step away from getting 16-year-olds to vote in federal and local elections. And is it any wonder?
They trick their kids. They trick.
Well, they only have opinions that their parents and their teachers pass down to them. They only have opinions of pop culture icons, and they're all leftists. Those are the only opinions they ever know. And also, is it any wonder as to why socialism is very, very popular amongst people who have never had to live on their own before? Because then you go from mommy and daddy to government being mommy and daddy. You never leave home.
Well, that's only if Helga, you work hard for what you get, right?
Yes, of course.
You got to instill these values in your kids when they're very young. Very young.
Yes.
And, you know, to be honest, I just went to an event this morning for my son for Veterans Day. And it was beautiful. And I cried because I went into the school and they did this whole tribute to all of the moms and dads that were in the armed forces. And they sung songs and they had the VFW and we said the pledge and we sung the national anthem together. And it was touching. And I feel like that doesn't happen in a lot of places anymore. And it's, you know, sad.
I know.
So this was a little bit of a downward sort of a furious, angry Maximus show in a way. But I think it echoes what a lot of people are feeling right now, an outright frustration. But I have to tell you guys, don't give up. Because
no, that's, yeah.
Go ahead, Frank. I mean, seriously, like,
no, it's not. That's not an option. We need to be able to hit the bag sometimes. We have to be able to hit the heavy bag every once in a while. And you know, whereas we have goofy shows, we have fun, inspiring shows. A lot of positive things are going on. First of all, there is an underlying progression of positivity.
Yes.
that is underneath all of this.
If they weren't worried about everything that they've been doing being exposed and them going down, this wouldn't be happening right now.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
No. There's no other reason for this this reaction. There's a fear. There's a fear and there's a necessity right now to make sure that you know,
protect Mueller. Frank, protect Mueller.
Whatever the hell that even means, protect Mueller. Well, they should be asking what the thing that they should be doing is not saying protect Mueller. They should be saying, what the hell is Mueller doing? Can they ask that? Can they start asking that question? What the hell is Mueller doing? But they don't care about that because every day he stays out of the spotlight and he just merely exists is another day that they believe that the savior, that Superman, Super Mueller is going to show up one day and deliver them from the evil that is Donald Trump.
The bad orange man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it, that's just what it is.
I see orange everywhere.
Well, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Maximus Decimus Meridius, Commander of the Armies of the North, General of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the one true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
And Helga.
That's a good way to end this show. You guys can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on RadioInfluence.com. Keep up the fight, people. Don't give up. We've got a long battle ahead of us, but we will be victorious, right?
Yes.
Good. Have a good weekend, guys.
Take care.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a big favor and welcome to Duffified Live, the comedian, the writer, the actress, the host, the supermodel, the digital media expert, Miss Becky Robinson. You've been doing this for how long?
Like 6-7 years. Yeah, I moved to LA when I moved to LA in 2013. And that was when I really started doing stand-up and been doing it full-time mostly ever since. 2014, I guess, was when I got kind of like a first writing job on Comedy Central. And I was like, okay, we're full time now. We're doing it. So yeah.
What made you move to LA? And you're from Portland, right?
Yeah. Well, you're technically Tigered. I grew up a little bit outside the city. And what I like to call it was a tough cul-de-sac, just deer trotting around. No, it was great. But, I grew up in Oregon for my whole life. And then, I went to San Diego State for college and had never really spent, I just knew I used to watch videos and snowboarding was like a big part of my up because it would rain so much in Oregon. It was just sheer misery. So you could take this bus up to the mountains. It was like an hour and a half and then you were just in this majestic, you know, winter wonderland. So I got really into snowboarding and I would compete and stuff. And then, I started making all these videos and like kind of started trying to like risk bits on chairlifts with strangers. And, so when I got into a couple of schools in Southern California, I was like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to make movies and stuff and maybe perform. And then, yeah, right before my 21st birthday, my sister came to visit me and forced me to try stand up. And, I did it a few times. And then my parents actually were like, what are you thinking? Like, why? My mom actually said, and I quote, she said, how could you do this to us? Which I was like, what?
Jesus. I didn't tattoo my face, Mom, with yours. I'm standing on stage, lady.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.